Praise the Lord. I trust you're hungry for the word here this morning. It is our help. Glory to God. Yes, yes, yes. I just want to take a moment off the top of the service here to just introduce myself, for I know we do have some visitors here with us today. Well, praise the Lord. I'm Pastor Brad Holford. I'm the associate pastor here at Family Church. And Pastor Tim Stallman's our senior pastor. And he's actually taken some time off. He couldn't be here today. But I just invite you to come on back and hear Pastor Tim. He is the man anointed, appointed as pastor of this church. And I know that, you know, it's an honor for us when we receive new people and have new people. That means a lot to us. But I do know that he would want to meet you and be able to see you. And so I just invite you to come on back. He had asked me to fill in to minister here today. And so I just figure that, hey, if we stick to the word, we'll be helped here today. And so I have some things that are on my heart. And so I just trust that you come ready to receive it. Amen. You know, God never misses it. He's always on cue to give a good word. And I have preparation time that I do. But there's always the responsibility of the congregation. There's always the congregation's part to want to receive and pull, and it comes through being hungry for the things of God or anything else for that matter. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. You see, everything has already been finished. Everything has already been settled. As far as heaven's concerned, everything is already done concerning you living victorious here on earth. It's our job and our responsibility to get the understanding of it and implement it here on earth. So in other words, my attentiveness to take heed of the word brings the increase. You remember the passage where he says, you know, a sower, talking about sowing, he says in the growing process, he says, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, meaning your faith is a process. But then he goes on to say in that same passage, take heed how you hear or what you hear, meaning guard what you hear, because to whom hears or to him who hears, more shall be given and more shall be added. So you can hear me speaking, but not hear me. You can hear the words coming out of my mouth, but not hear me. When you get the revelation and understanding of the written word of God, all of a sudden you've created a platform for increase. Now you've created a place that things can be stacked upon to be built and grown and developed. So when you come to the church, you come as a place of attentively hearing, not only physically, but by your spirit, so you can grab hold of the word of God and start making changes. Amen. You know, I oftentimes, you know, think and you know, obviously this world has a different flow and pattern right now than it even did before COVID. There's a lot of attack and a lot of dark things that have come into this world. That doesn't change God. That doesn't change what he's done. Maybe there has been a greater onslaught on us, but it hasn't changed the word and what's already established. In other words, there might be a greater obstacle. There might be a greater hurdle that you might be dealing with right now. But I'm telling you what, if you take the word of God, there's a greater victory. You know, I don't go into a boxing ring with a five-year-old and think that I accomplish some feat if my hand is raised in victory. But if you've gone against a seasoned champion, one that has been day in, day out training, and you gain victory over that, all of a sudden there's a heightened level of victory. So you have to understand that whatever obstacles are here in this world, it's only setting a platform for you to be raised-handed victorious in this earth. People that didn't otherwise see it. Let me just break it down here for a second. I know many of you to be very good people. You are family. I have direct family, but I know many of you are very good family, but I don't chew the dirt with you. I don't walk day in, day out. In fact, most people can know me that I might be a good person. I don't know the struggles on a daily basis through you. I don't know the obstacles that you're dealing with. I don't know the circumstances that you've been going through. I don't know the hell that you've been walking through for the last day, week, month, or year. But I'm telling you, there's coming a point when all of a sudden that revelation, when nobody saw it, the same God who sees in private will reward openly, that all of a sudden there's going to be some heads turning that says, I don't know how you got to where you are, but something happened and I'm seeing you in a new light. because there's no way you should have made it out what you're going through. In the private times, when no one's there, when no one's around, there's no accolades, there's no handshakes, no pats on the back, but somehow you found God. I'm telling you, that is your platform right now that is going to change the world. You need to find God in the private. And then when that open manifestation comes, you can do nothing but give the thanks and honor. Yes, I was failing. Yes, I was broke. Yes, I was a cheater. I was a swindler. Yes, I was an alcoholic. I was a druggie. Yes, I was all these things. And then Jesus showed up in my life. I would have had to been subject to the same course of life as everybody else that didn't make it. But there's one thing that separates me and you, and that's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And because I found Jesus. My feet are secure under me. He's the solid rock on which I can stand. And now all of a sudden I'm moving forward in the things of God, and you watch and see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. I was talking yesterday, and we can have a testimony Sunday, and I know that there's some good testimonies that are represented here. But then there's the other testimony, and I've fallen subject to this too. It's like, okay, well, what's the Lord done in the last week, month, year? Honestly, I don't know. I'm just happy to be alive. I wish I could say that I was resurrected. I wish I could say I had a tremendous, you know, God encounter experience. I wish that, you know, it was all fireworks in my spiritual life. But I'll tell you what, sometimes it takes everything in me to just get up out of bed in the morning. I wish I had a testimony like, you know, spiritual woman over here and man of God over here that, you know, they've overcome and they're winning the world for Jesus. But sometimes that doesn't necessarily happen. But I do have to commend and applaud everybody for being here today, because you didn't quit. You didn't give up. And I'll tell you, yeah, it seems like you've been knocked around. Maybe you've lost a few steps, but I'm telling you, get back. Maintain and occupy the ground you are. And I'm telling you what, you will see the day of salvation come. You will see the hand of God move on your life so that it'll be evident amongst all. We're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. We're going to move forward in the things of God. And He's got good for you. Amen. Glory to God. And I want to share with you a few things. If you don't mind just jumping in your Bible, turn with me over there to Psalms 103. And this is a familiar passage, but if you did receive the text, you know where we're going with this. And I want to share with you, I got 40 points here today that I want to give you. No, not 40 points. Some of you just choked a little bit. That's all right. That's all right. Come on back with me. I got two things, which is good for me, because as a preacher, I'm not necessarily a teacher. There's always a teaching element to ministry, but you know, I'm like, all right, I'm going to give you five things to do this. Sometimes I forget the points. Sometimes I just preach it all. I'll preach it all. You know, if there's a point, I'll just preach it and not even call it a point. But actually, I want to go to two things or show you two things here today that I believe will help you. In Psalms 103, in verse 1, starting there right at the beginning, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." I love that. We've used that for praise and worship, but it says, "Bless the Lord, all my soul," meaning everything that makes me me, I want pointed in your direction. There's such things as people that are all in. There's such thing as people that are all in. I'm not talking the wishy-washy ones. I'm talking the ones like, hey, I'm not talking perfect here. I'm just saying those ones that come before the God and say, hey, everything that makes me me, my perfections, imperfections, snags, hiccups, everything else, whatever it is that makes me, even though it might be an utter mess right now, I give it all to you. Let whatever is in me, the most purest, holiest thing in my born-again spirit, magnify and glorify you. And so that's what he's saying. And he says in verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities and heals all thy diseases." But I like that it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," but listen to what he says, "and forget not all of his benefits." That's interesting. In other words, if he says forget not, it means that there's a consequence to forgetting. If he says forget not all of his benefits, it'd be like do not. You remember the Ten Commandments, thou shall not, do not. Meaning if you do something, there's going to be a repercussion to your actions. So David here is saying, forget not all of his benefits. In other words, if you forget these things, something's going to happen and not in a good way. So he says, forget not all of his benefits. You know what that word forget means? It means to mislay. So, you know, I'm looking, I'm like, mislay, that's not part of my everyday vocabulary. Mislay. Well, don't mislay. Well, what is that? You know, mislay means like you've misplaced or you've lost. In other words, like someone mislaid their keys. So you could even say this, forget not all of his benefits. Don't mislay or mislay his benefits. Don't put it down and forget about it. Because just like a vehicle, it's like, hey, I mislaid my keys. I know my keys are somewhere. I know they exist. But since I mislaid them, I'm going to go without the benefit of driving my vehicle. I mislaid my keys. I'm not denying that I have keys because I have keys. I'm not denying the reality of them. I know I have keys. I just mislaid them. And now I'm in need of transportation. But since I mislaid my keys, now I'm walking. And sometimes Christians, they mislay the promises of God. And as they're walking, they're griping. Why do I gotta walk? Ain't no reason why I gotta walk. Where's my vehicle? My keys should be here somewhere. It must be the vehicle's fault. That vehicle is supposed to bring me to church today, but since, you know, the keys are disappeared somewhere, all of a sudden I can't use the vehicle, so now I got to walk. It's the same thing. Why do I got to be, you know, sick in body? Why do I got to have pain in my body? Why are all things? Well, you mislaid the benefits. The benefits are true. They're there. You just mislaid them someplace, so now they're of no benefit to you. So David's saying, hey, forget not all of his benefits. In other words, you're going to have to take a diligent effort to make sure that these benefits are constantly with you. Thank God I'm clothed here today. I make sure that I'm clothed when I go out to places. Praise God. Thank you all for dressing up here today. Y'all look lovely. But I'm telling you, don't forget getting dressed before you leave. Otherwise, there will be some repercussions. I'm telling you, don't go without the benefits. These things come in my head. If you could only know what goes through my head when I'm ministering. I don't even know. I'm just going with it. Amen. But don't forget the benefits that the Lord has for us. And he says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Verse 4 says, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. So he goes on to quote and say all this through this whole chapter, the benefit after benefit after benefit. David, a shepherd boy, king at this time, wrote this. How is it that you know all these benefits? That he heals your diseases, he forgives your iniquities, that he heals those that are oppressed, that he's loving, merciful, all these benefits that he's saying. How do you know that? Why are you writing that down? How do you even realize that that is something the Lord is? Through his fellowship, he's like, okay, here's the benefits. Give me a pad and paper. I'll write you a list right now of the benefits of the Lord. Why? He didn't forget. He didn't forget the benefits. He can write them down in scripture because he knows. Put me anywhere at any time. Give me a pen and paper. I'll write you out 50 things right now that are the benefits of the Lord. How about you? How about you? Here's David. Yeah, there might have been some scripture at that time. There was no Bible like we have. He didn't have the promises of the New Testament. He had the Old Testament, and through fellowship with him, he's like, he is my healer. He is my savior. He redeems my life from destruction. My mouth is renewed, he satisfies my mouth with good things, so my youth is renewed like the eagles. He understands these benefits, that he can write them down and record them in scripture. He didn't forget, and he's telling you, don't forget his benefits. David's like, hey, don't forget. Let me write you down a few in this chapter. And he goes on, verse after verse after verse. Do not forget his benefits. And I want to show you, as we get into this, some examples of people that have remembered and forgotten the benefits of the Lord. Pastor's been over there in Luke chapter 10. Go ahead, turn there with me if you will. Luke chapter 10, he's been ministering on this the last couple weeks. We're going to look at a few verses here. You remember that he sent out the 70, disciples. And I love this passage because we can find ourselves in the scripture in this. And it says in Luke chapter 10, verse 1, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before the face into every city, before his face into every city and place whither himself would come. So Pastor had made mention last week that he sent them two by two, so he gathered 70 or appointed 70 disciples. So there was groups, there were 35 groups because they went out two by two, and he sent them into the place where he would eventually go. But I like how it says that he appointed 70. I'm curious how that happened, because like I said, yes, there was Old Testament scripture that was through the Bible. Jesus himself, you know, stood up for to read in his own synagogue, would read scripture. There was scripture there, but there were 70 disciples that were following him at that time. These weren't educated people. Did he say, okay, I'm sending out 70. All right, all those with a 2 or 4 year degree, you know, in seminary and theology, stand up here before me. Those that have served at least 25 years in the ministry, I need you to stand up right here. Okay, all those that, you know, in the department of works and stuff in their local church, I need you to congregate over here because I'm gonna appoint 70. I'm telling you what, he went to the ditch digger. He went to the parking lot attender. He went to the cook line prep person. He went to the waiter, the server. He went to the mechanic. Whoever he deemed worthy as a disciple to be a representative to him, not based on a credential or a knowledge or a knowing of the ministry. Someone that was willing, obedient, that laid down something to follow Jesus. And he says, because I see the sacrifice that you've given, you've laid down your life to come follow me. Now I'm gonna take you and put you in a position where you're gonna go before me. Because it says that they went into the city where he was gonna go. In other words, you're gonna be a representative of who I am. It goes on to verse 9 because he gives them, he says, when you go into the cities, he gave them some instruction. Pastor went over that last week. He says, when you go in, you know, bid your peace to them. Tell them on their house, if they reject you, knock the dust off your shoes, leave town. But I like what it says in verse 9. He says, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Here's your ditch digger. Here's your oil pumper. Here's your, you know, gas well attendant. Here's your used car salesman. Here's the average Joe, and he says, when you show up into these cities, he says, heal the sick. Yeah, but you don't know my credentials. I don't know if I'm studied or prepped enough to stand in what you've called as healing the sick. I've seen you do it, Jesus, but you're not me. You're the Son of God. Jesus says, heal the sick, and he says, when you show up, you tell them that the kingdom of God has come nigh. I'm telling you that you need to show up in some places and you need to start declaring that the kingdom of God has come nigh. Whatever your realm of influence is in your family, your direct family, your contacts, your friends, your associates, you need to start taking kingdom authority, rule and reign, that you show up and say, now the kingdom of God has come nigh. Sickness, disease comes into your house, you need to show up and say, the kingdom of God has come nigh. Trial, tribulation, poverty, lack, things that try to show up, it's time that you show up and you say, the kingdom of God, it would have got by, but I'm here. And because I'm here, this cannot go undealt with. You try to come into my family, guess what? Jesus is my heavenly Father. That authority now belongs to me, which he's given to me. If you have a problem, you take that up with him. Sickness, disease, you have to go in the name of Jesus. Poverty, lack, you have to go. Unsoundness of mind, you have to go. That rebellion that's trying to weave and work its way into your family needs to go in the name of Jesus. Why? Because the kingdom just showed up. Yeah, but I'm a ditch digger. I'm the parking lot attendant. So were they. He said, heal the sick. And when you show up, you tell them that the kingdom of God has shown up too. It says over there, and I've shared along these lines before, in verse 17, so they went out and they did this. In verse 17, they come back, and it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They were dumbfounded. They had no idea. You told us to go out, heal the sick, tell them that the kingdom of heaven was at night, and when we did that, devils left. We had no idea this would even happen. We didn't know this would work. They were freaking out of their heads that all of a sudden they stood in a place as the dishwasher based on what the commandment of the Lord had said, and there was a reaction or a response to the word that they had received from Jesus. Even the devils were cast out in your name. We honestly didn't think this was going to happen. We'd never done this before. We didn't learn this in our Sunday school class for the 3 years that we were a part of it. Certainly didn't learn it in the restaurant. And Jesus said to him, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Boom. Truth bomb right there. Jesus came before him and said, yeah. He said, the devils were subject to you. He's like, thousands of years ago, I saw Satan fall to the earth like lightning. He will forever be known as the fallen one. It became instant revelation to you, but I was there when it all went down. You may have revelation of what has just happened at the command of my word to you. But when you stepped into that position that I commanded you, all heaven and earth recognized that thousands of years before when he went down. This is no mystery. This is no great big deal that you cast out devils. We all understood that and have known that for thousands of years. Jesus was like, I saw Satan fall to the earth. I was there on that day. Your excitement, praise God, you've learned it, but it's not exciting to me because this was my understanding all along. It became all of a sudden revelation to you, but this is something that was already settled in place. As this timeline was going, you happened right here, but it didn't affect what was already taking place already back there and already understood. You have that same authority through Jesus Christ. You do realize that when he died, he descended into the lower parts of the earth. He went into hell, and it said that he made a victory parade of every captive, or set the captivity captive, and made a victory parade of every devil. Everything that you're currently dealing with on a demonic level, they were there and recognized what was done 2,000 years ago through Jesus Christ. It might be revelation to you to understand your authority, but as far as every sickness and disease, as far as every bit of rebellion, as far as every bit of lack, as far as every bit of break of fellowship between us and our Heavenly Father, every demon, angel, everything in creation that is above in heaven and everything that is beneath, every demon that walks this earth was there that day, and they saw when Jesus shook off the bonds of the devil and rose again victorious and raised up and sat on the right hand of the Heavenly Father. And so it might be a mystery to you to lay hands on the sick, but healing was already been done and put away with 2,000 years ago through Jesus. It might be a revelation to you like it was to the disciples. Hey, even the demons and devils are subject. But hey, 2,000 years ago, this was established through Jesus Christ for you and for me. People are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Maybe you didn't know that, or maybe you forgot. We want to be in a position where we don't forget these things. Jesus goes on saying in verse 20 or 19, he says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing in this world shall by any means hurt you. Why? Because he's given you the authority. So many people are waiting for God to do something when he's given you the authority to do it. I hear these songs from time to time, like on the radio and stuff. God, rescue me, rescue me. He's like, I did 2,000 years ago. You don't have revelation of it, so you're going without the benefit of it. You know, Jesus is a healer and record ball. You know, praise the God who gives and takes away. Yeah, he took away one thing. He took away your sin, sickness, disease, everything that would plague you, and he put the authority now in your hands. So the whole benefits package that he has belongs to you. Now, whether you access that or not, that's on you. But I don't want to see an upside down smile. I don't want to see a wrinkle on your forehead yelling if something didn't work when it's been given to you. $1 million in your banking account going to the grocery store, said, I can't pay for groceries. Well, you've got $1 million in your bank account. Pull out your card, stick it in there, and leave with the groceries. There's a benefits package in the Bible that Jesus established for you. Don't forget the benefits of it. Familiarize yourself with the benefits because there's repercussions if you forget. Verse 20 says, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice in the fact that your names are written in heaven. In other words, heaven recognizes you. So when things have been written in heaven, every demon, every angel, every created thing, should they give an attent, they will see your name written in heaven in a place of authority. Don't rejoice that something that was done thousands of years ago, don't rejoice to think that that was some kind of spectacular feat, because there would have been no grandeur in casting out devils if dude didn't sin to begin with, loser. The devil sinned, he took it upon himself to rebel against God. And so the only reason why they're rejoicing is because he was an idiot. I'm just talking. We're talking shop here today. We're talking plane here today. Because he blew it. All of a sudden, oh, accolade and pat on my back because the loser missed it. He said, don't rejoice in that, because that was based on the sin of Lucifer to become Satan. He says, if you want to rejoice about anything, rejoice that your name is written in heaven and that you are recognized by God the Father in the place where he calls home. He can look over and see your name written right there. Oh, come on. Don't be trudging and swimming in this swamp in this world. You know what I mean? If our mentality can get to where he sees and what he's done, and if we can live in the fullness of what he's provided for us, we'd be victorious here in this earth. This is an attack because we're all renewing our minds. No one has arrived to the stature of the fullness of Christ. We are all a work in progress to get there. Stuff happens. I'm just saying, don't forget the benefits. The benefits in the Word of God is your title deed to what you're believing God for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the title deed of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Many of you, you know, have houses or vehicles. Well, if the bank owns it, they got the title. But if you own it, you have the title deed. And the title deed is something that has been established in law. In other words, hey, someone comes into your house, if you have the title for it, paid off, you got the title. Hey, I'm going to take your house. No, you can't. I got the title deed for this. You don't have the jurisdiction or the authority to take what's rightfully mine because I have the title deed of it. That's the way the promises of our God. I'm telling you, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He will take every bit of leverage, try to get in any back door that he possibly can, and steal and rob from you. Until you know your benefits and hold up the title deed and say, I see here that by his stripes I'm healed. I see here, above all, I wish that you prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. When you hold up that title deed to him and say, if you have an issue with these title deeds, I didn't make these deeds up. Heaven did, and that's where I stand, and my name is written. If you got a problem with this, you take it up with them. I'm here like these 70. Jesus sent them and he told me what to do. This is my authority. This is my boss. I didn't make up this authority myself. This was what was given to me. So I'm standing in a position to enforce the title deed or the benefits to what's been given to me. If you have an issue with this, you take it up with the one who issued it. In the meantime, devil, leave in Jesus' name. Whatever it is, you take your benefits package and you take the title deed, and you get the devil stepping. I want to look at a couple things here that have tripped people up and things that we have to guard for that would make you try to forget your benefits. Turn with me over there to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, the sixth chapter of John. John chapter 6. And this was Jesus talking to these very disciples that were following with him. These were the 70 where they had followed Jesus, seeing signs, wonders, miracles happen. Everywhere that Jesus went, he was a kingdom ambassador. Everywhere he went, deaf ears were open, blind eyes were open. You know, devils were cast out. 5,000 people were fed at the hands of a miracle. Food was multiplied. In John chapter 6, we're going to start there in verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat of my flesh, or eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink of his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father, so that he eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. So he's going on to talk about, obviously, the communion. Jesus is foretelling his crucifixion on the cross, where his blood was shed, his body was bruised for us. And he's saying, unless you become a partaker of that. He's not saying literally drink my blood, eating my flesh, but they didn't know that at this time. They had a lack of understanding what he was prescribing. He's saying there's a day where I'm going to have to go and be nailed to a cross where my blood will flow, that my flesh will be bruised, it will be broken, it will be pierced, all for you. And unless you partake, or unless you understand the crucifixion and the price that I'm paying on your behalf, you'll go without the benefit of it. He says, that's why he says, unless you eat or drink, he says, my Father has a place in heaven for those that do that. In other words, when you understand that I'm not doing this for a show, I'm doing this because there's a sacrifice that needs made for the sin of all mankind. And so he's foretelling this about the blood that would be spilled and the flesh that would be broken to them. And it goes on to say in verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself, his disciples murmured at it, and he said unto them, does this offend you? Let's stop right there for a second. And this has been something that's been kind of an ongoing thing, but he asked them, he says, does this offend you? The first thing I want to talk about is offense. Now, yes, there is the offense that we can have with people, you know, being offended at other people. But how about being offended at God? Because he was quoting a truth unto them, and because they lacked understanding of it, they began to question, well, they got offended. What? You're telling me this stuff, but I'm not seeing the results. Like, how does this apply? How can I drink your blood and eat your flesh? And they got offended. This is a hard saying. Why do you even say that? You were the Son of God till I heard this. How oftentimes do we as Christians get offended at God? Well, I should be further than what I am. I've been giving my tithes and offerings day in, day out for years. Where's my opportunity? Where's my windows of heaven? Where's my increase? I've been serving in the church day in, day out, you know, for years. Where's my open doors of opportunity? I've been confessing healing scriptures for the last 10 years. Nothing's happened. Where's my healing? Why hasn't it showed up yet? I believe. And they get offended at God because it hasn't manifested yet. Because some reason, you know, it should have been a lot quicker and sooner on my timetable than anything. How oftentimes do we get offended at God or offended at the word? Why do you say this and then I'm believing you for it and it doesn't happen? That's a slap in my face. Offense starts to get in because of understanding. That word offend means to trap, trip up, or displease. It forms a trap, and we've learned that before. Pastor I know has ministered on it, the offense trap. It's like being behind a fortified city. You're trapped with offense. In other words, light has been trying to reach some people for numerous years and hasn't been able to penetrate through the walls that they've set up. Yeah, I tried that. I've been on phone conversation. There was one guy, I've been tithing my, so there's a lot of things, but let me just simplify it. He said, I've been tithing for the last year and nothing's happened. Left the church, left his place of help, left his man of God, went out, did his own thing. There's other people, you know, and we'll get into this, are one sermon away from leaving, because let's just go ahead and read on here a little bit. Does this offend you? Verse 62 says, what and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. And he was talking about Judas. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that would believe not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I say unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Look what verse 66 says. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. How many Christians are one sermon away from leaving the church? One thing that they don't agree with pastor on, one sermon away that challenges them, confronts them. Oh, Jesus said one thing that they didn't understand and they left him. Many of the disciples walked away from him and didn't walk with him anymore from that point on. These were the same ones that saw miracle after miracle, signs, wonders. Undoubtedly, he is the man of God. He says one thing, that's a hard saying. He's like, why are you offended? Why are you offended at the words that I say? Why is it that you left your place of help because your understanding was limited on the words coming out of my mouth to you? Is it worth it? And it goes on to say in verse 67, then Jesus turned to the 12, his immediate. Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. At least those that are in fellowship, and that being the key, you can have surface disciples. We call them the SOBs, the Sunday only bunch, and no offense if you're an SOB, we're just joking around here. But you have the 12 that are in fellowship, that know him intimately on a personal basis, that his word has become so true to them. I don't understand what you just said right now. But where would we go? We know and are convinced and are sure that you're the Son of God. There's no doubt. There's more root with who you are to me than the lack of my understanding right now. Through the fellowship we have, there's more ground that I'm standing on with that than the time that it takes for this to manifest, for the season of this to manifest, for the time it takes this pain to leave my body. I know more that you're the Son of God than these other surface things. Because Jesus says, are you going to go? Is there something better out there? Is there another choice that would be better? Are you going to leave too? Where are you going to go? Back to the bar? Yeah, that's right. Get offended because something you didn't agree with that the pastor said in the Word of God, instead of getting understanding on that, no, you're right. Go home and sit on your couch and be all angry on a Sunday morning because that's better. Oh, yeah, you're right. Go back to the bar. Go back to the drugs. Go back to the promiscuous living, all that. Yeah, because there's a good answer. You're right. You're right. Well, I don't like what he said about politics. There are people that left the church because pastor, you know, he's unbiased politics. He's got cures, you know, according to the word of God. There's sure things that he stands on. No politician is perfect by any means. He's not Republican or Democrat. Pastor's an independent, because he'll say, I'm not Republican, I'm not Democrat. And he's registered independent, but he first and foremost, he always says he's a child of God. He's a man of God. That's who he is. People offended and leave the church because all of a sudden you're not endorsing Trump back when that went. Oh, you're right. Yeah. So don't come to church anymore. Just go home and be angry at your house because this church. My goodness, how shallow and thin-skinned are you? You know what I mean? Okay. For the last 10 years you've been here, your life is radically transformed. You get the word of God day in, day out, preached to you. You flourish. You're getting understanding. So you arrive to a place that one thing said, oh, yeah, you're just going to go off and pout and be angry. Well, grow up. Everybody's at different places. And I'm not, Pastor will be back. He'll love on everybody. This isn't normally like me. Normally I'm the one. Normally pastor knocks down. But I'm just preaching under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. I don't sugarcoat. I'm not smart enough to do that. So he says, are you going to go too? He says, where would we go? We're so much more solidly secure in knowing that you are the Christ that my circumstance can't talk me out of it. I still choose to believe the benefits that you're here to establish. Turn with me, if you will, over there to Matthew chapter 11. You remember John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. But I want to show you something. Matthew chapter 11, you remember John the Baptist was as one crying out in the wilderness, the one that lived on locusts and wild honey, the one that dressed in camel's hair and, you know, had long hair and was probably kind of bum-like looking, not a groomed, kept man. But people by the droves sought out this man because he was the forerunner. He had the anointing and appointing to prepare the way of the Lord. He was the individual that as Jesus showed up, as he was baptizing in the river, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." He says, "There comes one that I'm not worthy to undo his sandals." He recognized his role as the forerunner. And he was there when he baptized Jesus and saw the Spirit ascend like a dove upon him and said, "This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased." He was there to recognize that. He was there as the one that said, "I must decrease, he must increase. I recognize that the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior has come, and I'm just in this moment, in this token of time, I'm here to forerun and promote the coming Messiah." And he did that. As Jesus' ministry took off, John the Baptist had accomplished what he was sent to do. There was a point in time because he was directing and leading people to Jesus in his ministry that he was arrested. He was arrested and put in jail, and we're going to pick it up right now when he's in jail. Matthew chapter 11, starting there in verse 2. "Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou that he should come, or do we look for another?" So he's in prison. He sends two of his disciples to Jesus. And he says, "Are you he that should come, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." He's locked up. Circumstance has brought him to the lowest point. Here he was, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Where's my accolades? How is it that prison is my reward? How is it that I've done everything the Lord's called me to do the best of my ability, and this is where I'm at in prison? An offense started coming into him because Jesus said, you know, blessed are those that are not offended in me. But he says, Jesus said to his disciples that he sent, "Hey, Jesus, are you really the Messiah, or are we still looking for another one here?" He says, "Go tell John again." And if you got to tell someone again, they forgot. They forgot. Circumstances put him into a position where offense started taking root, and he forgot. The very man that proclaimed Jesus, the Lamb of God, that heard God speak, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," forgot because of circumstance, trying to steal the benefits package. Do we look for another? Go tell him again. He forgot. Got to tell him the benefits. Circumstance will always try to make you forget. It should be different right now. Hey, don't let that offense. The benefits are still there, whether you're, you know, going through trial and tribulation now or whatever. Those benefits are still there. They have not changed. God's love for you has not changed. They're still available for you. Don't let that offense get in wondering why you should have been someplace different right now. Why all the, you know, why you were dealt that deck of cards when someone else, it's always the way it is. Maybe there's the test for you. When others prosper right in the midst of it, going through the same situation as you, why'd they get their breakthrough? I've been believing for it for 10 years. Why didn't I get mine? Never in a place where you don't know about it, but they seem to prosper right in your face. What are you going to do? There's the test. Are you going to allow offense to get in? Or are you going to say, hey, praise God, I see a benefit working there. That benefits for me. And I'm going to grow and walk in his highest and best. John the Baptist got offended. I want to look at another thing, and we're going to get into the second thing. Go with me over to Exodus chapter 14. You remember the Israelites had a miraculous exodus out of Egypt. I want to look at the second thing. Number one is offense, not offended only with people, but offended at God. Why you shouldn't be in a better place right now. You've been going through trial and circumstance that maybe this world has brought upon you, and all of a sudden you begin to question the benefits. Well, because Pastor has said it over the course of the last number of weeks, a lot of mainstream, you know, preachers are turning away from the healing message. You forgot. Because you've seen someone get sick, maybe pass away, that all of a sudden it voided the promise through Jesus Christ. You forgot. And mainstream media has been forgetting a lot of things, not here, not in this church. We find it in the Word of God. This is for us. We're not going to get offended because we thought it should have happened years ago. We're not going to get offended because we've seen it and maybe don't understand it. We're not going to get offended by the lack of knowledge in these things. We're going forward with the things of God. We have a benefits package for us. Forget not all of his benefits. Exodus chapter 14. You remember the Israelites were led out of Egypt. You remember Moses went in there and that there was plague after plague after plague after plague destroying the Egyptians, and the Israelites were scot-free, even to the point where the very firstborn of all of the Egyptians were killed, and the Passover blood was applied to the Israelites, and the angel of death passed over them, and not one of them was hurt or killed or maimed or anything. All the frogs, the blood, the water turning to blood, all the locusts, everything that had happened, the sores and boils and everything else that had happened upon them never touched the Israelites. They were seeing the hand of God miraculously deliver them out of bondage of Egypt. In fact, when they went, they left with all the wealth of Egypt, all the silver and gold. They were, you know, their, what's that word? Reparations, in a good sense, maybe. I hear that word a lot, you know, going on with reparations and all that other stuff. But it was the back payment for what they were. All that wealth was put into the Israelites, and they left with all the finance that Egypt had. And so they get out to the point where it's the crossing of the Red Sea, and we're going to pick it up over there in verse 8. And it says they had left, and in verse 8 it says, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after their children, the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh's and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside, whatever that word is, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, and they go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. So let's just stop right there for a moment. So these Israelites were miraculously delivered out of the bonds of Egypt. All these plagues that they had seen come upon them, nothing had touched them, spared them. They left with tremendous silver and gold and riches and jewels. They come to one hard spot, and all of a sudden, Why'd you take us out of Egypt? You brought us out here to die? One hard spot, miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. They get to one hard spot out in the wilderness. Well, you brought us out here to die. And what they said was, you should have left us back in Egypt, back in the place of bondage. This is my second point right here. Don't go back to the familiar or back to your understanding. These Egyptians, they knew broke. They knew sick. They knew how to manage defeat and lack. It was easier for them to go back to the bondage because they knew how to function there than have to believe God for a miracle. I've got nothing, I'm broke. It's easier for me to manage that. I got nothing, I'll put my pile of nothing here and my pile of nothing there. I know I've got sickness and disease in my body, but I know how to manage it. Yes, I'm in pain continuously, but I know how to get through the day. And I'm not coming against anyone that might be going through a physical ailment right now. There's help for you. But I'm saying people will tend to want to go back to what they know. Don't ask me to think of how this is going to manifest. It's not comfortable for me to have to step out in a place of faith. I know how to manage where I'm at. I'm surviving. And these Egyptians are saying, the Israelites say, we should have stayed back in Egypt. You know what's back in Egypt? Three hots and a cot. We were bound, but we were fed. Yeah, we were making their buildings. Yeah, we were making their, you know, wealth and gold and building pyramids and doing everything else. But you know what? We were fed and we knew what to expect. You brought us out here. We got them that are going to kill us or we're going to drown. Don't ask me to believe God. I don't know God. I know that. This has been my life for the last number of years, bringing me up to a place of a miracle. The choice has to be mine. The choice has to be yours. Whatever you got that brought you up to this place, your understanding, you have a choice. You believe God for a miracle, you believe God for his benefits package, or you go back to living the same old bondage that you have. Choice is yours. They chose that. Leadership, thanks, Moses. You brought us out so we can die. So we just stretched our legs across this till we come to a hard spot in the water. And now we're dying. He says, raise your hand, divide the water. They'll go across on dry ground. The same God, pillar of fire by night, cloud by day. Miracle after miracle, they come to one spot. Oh, let's go back to Egypt. They want to go back to what they know. They haven't learned the benefits package. You don't know the benefits package, you'll go back to what you know. What have I done? Nothing. Well, what did you get? Nothing. Oh. I need change in my life. Well, what have you changed? Nothing. Oh. Stay there. Stay there. It is kind of hard. I say that and I'm like, that sounds kind of mean. God's got good stuff for you. And I'm trying to push to get us into those things. But it's going to take effort. There's no mamby-pamby. These Israelites had to believe God for a miracle. They wanted to go back to what they knew. At least I'm surviving there. I would rather live with this amount of defeat and laborious living than come out here and be killed or not knowing. At least I know I'm living and surviving. I know. I know what to expect there. And people want to hang on to their familiar. They don't want to leave the security of their familiar. I wrote that on there. People don't want to leave the security of their familiar. They don't know what it's like to live in God's highest and best. He's got it for you. Don't go without it. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, this seems good for us. I got more scripture here, but this seems good to us to kind of call it right here. But I'm telling you, don't be offended. Forget not his benefits. Forget not the benefit package. John the Baptist knew that he was the Son of God. He comes into one hard spot and he forgot. Same thing with the Israelites. They forgot. Maybe they didn't even know at this point, but they have been given promise through Moses. Let my people go. Plagues, signs, wonders, miracles that happen. The God of the miraculous trying to show himself in a beneficial way of parting the Red Sea. And the first thing they want to do is go back to the bondage. Don't do it. Strive to get the promise of God. Strive to find the word of God. What are you dealing with? Don't compromise that. Don't get offended that it hasn't happened. I don't care if it's been 50 years. Don't compromise in that. Don't get offended why it hasn't happened to you and it happens to everyone else around you. Don't be offended. Don't let that in. Don't go back to your familiar. You got to make a decision. Hey, enough is enough. If it costs you your life, do it. Father, you said this. Jesus turned to his disciples. You going to leave too? Everybody else left me. They didn't understand. Are you going to leave? Where do we go? Our fellowship with you has fortified us. That you have become more of a reality than our lack of understanding based on whatever cult cannibalism junk you just said. We have to press into the things of God, get that fellowship side, make that connection with God, step out in faith and move in the miraculous, not to be offended as to knowing why, not going back and deciding that the taste of bondage that you've been living for so long, I'd rather pay a price and not knowing and finding God than go back and living another 20 years the way I've just been living. You know what I'm saying? Press in, get the promises. Forget not his benefits. The world's trying to make you forget what he's done. We're not going to forget. Amen. I trust your help here this morning. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just bless you. We thank you. We glorify you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that, Father, you paid the ultimate price through Jesus that we could have a benefits package. That we could be forgiven of all of our sins. We could be healed of all our sicknesses and diseases. That we can walk in the peace of our mind. That we can have joy. That we can have patience. That we don't have to live this life defeated. That, Father, in every life here, there's a process of faith. There's a process that we started to be born again, and there's a process to walk more new day by day into the newness of our recreated born again self. And during that process, Father, we're going to choose not to be offended at your word or yourself or other people for that matter. And that, Father, we decide through our fellowship with you to take your word and take your promise to mean more than the circumstances that are temporary right now going on in our life. Even if it's been for a stretch of time, we choose you. And we know, Father, that you have higher and better for us. And Father, we're so grateful for you. We give you the praise. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, everybody in attitude prayer with no one looking around. Maybe you're here today and you hear a message like this, but you don't know where to start with the things of God. I never want to preach a message without giving someone an opportunity to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, because the ultimate benefit that he's given to us is Jesus Christ, that he would die and pay the price for the sins of all mankind. And it was word of good that people that are lacking in understanding ask, well, why does God send people to hell? Well, God doesn't send anybody to hell. People are born into a sin world and they are already going to hell. God sent Jesus so you wouldn't have to. Well, how do we do that? How do we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior so that we can have eternal life? It's simple. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Verse 13 says, whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. That means you. That means me. Anyone who wants to participate, that gift is available for them. All heads are bowed and eyes closed with no one looking around. If you're here today, you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm not gonna embarrass you. I'm not gonna make you stand up. I'm not gonna call you forward or anything like that. But right there in the privacy of your own seat, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and today you wanna accept him, can I just see your hand? Would you uplift your hand so I can see it? As soon as I see it, I'll have you put it right back down. And then we're all gonna pray together and you can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior right there in your seat. Is there anybody here who's never made Jesus the Lord of their life and want to do that today? Can I see your hand? Is there anybody here today? Amen. I know it's a lot of a family group here today. Father, I just don't see any hands. If there's anyone here at the sound of my voice or anyone by live stream that has never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, Father, I just pray that they won't part from this earth till they've done that. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we're strengthened, we're equipped, we're edified here today, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Hey, before we're dismissed, how about we stand to our feet and give him some praise and glory. Father, we thank you for your word here today. We thank you that, Father, we leave changed, we leave doers. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. You are dismissed.